Baseball is back.
I want to see some real games.
The season is going to be different.
They've been given a gift with this 60-game schedule.
On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands, there's a lot to talk about.
There's a stunning development.
And this is the place to do it.
Tony, you know, he talks, I listen.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big One, Rodenizer, Woodbridge One, Gravely, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go. Start of another baseball season. Start of another baseball reporter season here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. 617-779-0985. Billy Laney is producing for us tonight. Billy, we can open the phone lines right away, but I do want to get to the callers early. It's been a long time since we've spoken to them. But I do have instructions for you, Billy. If you could please go into the studio when you get a minute. I want you to take away Jim Murray's shoelaces. I want you to take away his belt. And I want you to take away anything with which he can hurt himself. You can leave his lighter. Murray can keep his lighter. I'm sure he's got a lighter in there. We don't want to deprive him of a little bit of therapy or self-medicating, whatever it takes him to get through the day, because nobody is dreading the start of this program more than Jim Murray, who is still... who is sitting in our studio. I almost said Brighton Murray in Dorchester. I am working from home here, as you know, remotely during the COVID-19 pandemic that has completely shut down the world. 617-779-0985. So, Murray, before I get to the listeners, let me ask you.
Yeah.
How much are you looking forward to the baseball season, Murray?
Not much. I don't want to lie to you. Like, I just, you know, I didn't miss it. I really haven't. It's been one of the, it's personally been one of the silver linings of this hell pandemic that we've had to deal with here the last 4 months.
Okay, so look, I will tell you that I wonder if a lot of people feel like you do, Murray. And for a long time, I did. I felt that way. And now as we approach the start of the season, and for those of you who don't know, Major League Baseball set to begin on Thursday night with a game between the Yankees and the Washington Nationals. The reigning world champions will take on the team that many believed would be the biggest threat to win a World Series this year in the Yankees. And then following that game, you'll have the second most hyped team of, if not the first most, of 2020 in the Los Angeles Dodgers. They will play the San Francisco Giants in one of the great rivalries in Major League Baseball. Those will be the first two games on opening night. And what, dare I say, is very much like an NFL type of opening night. Major League Baseball actually scheduling games that make sense from a matchup point of view and that that would normally draw intrigue and interest from those of you who are baseball fans. So as you drive home tonight or as you sit home tonight, whatever it is, let me ask you this in plain terms. And by the way, I should also tell you the Red Sox are due to open on Friday. They will open on Friday night at Fenway Park with no fans in the stands against the Baltimore Orioles. Most of that you already know. But given all of that, given everywhere we have been, and when I talk about everywhere we have been, I'm not just talking about the last 4 months during which the entire world has been shut down at various points in time for various lengths of time. I'm going all the way back to the end of last season in the winter. The end of a season, a 2019 season, that was incredibly disappointing for the Red Sox. They finished 84-78. They missed the playoffs a year after winning 108 regular season games and winning a World Series. They won 24 fewer regular season games. They then hired a new general manager, fired their existing manager in the midst of a cheating scandal that also involved and engulfed the Houston Astros, for lack of a better description. A winter in which they traded away David Price and Mookie Betts. Saw a season-ending injury to Chris Sale. The kind of offseason that would take the air out of a regular season like this one under normal circumstances, and maybe it still has. So I ask you, amid all of that, are you looking forward to the start of baseball? Does it now mean something to you again, given what we have lost in terms of live sports here in the last several months? Because it's been a long time since we have watched a live sporting event involving teams from the four major sports. And I'm talking about the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, and obviously Major League Baseball. The last time we saw a game involving any of those teams was in March. A real game, March. baseball will be the first one back on Thursday night. Red Sox on Friday. So again, are you looking forward to it? Have you softened it all on baseball, given the labor war that went on this spring between owners and players? Or is it out of sight, out of mind, and you're really not interested in it at all right now? And so, Murray, let me ask you, is it out of sight, out of mind? Do you think as we get closer to the opener, is there any chance that you'll actually put an eye on the TV on Thursday night and watch the Nationals and the Yankees?
No. No, I mean, I may check it out for a few minutes, but to say that I'm going to invest my whole Thursday night into doing that, no. It's my fourth sport, Maz. It really is. And it's football, basketball, hockey, coin flip, and then, you know, precipitous drop off to baseball. It's just the sport has kind of lost me. And until I see massive sweeping changes in the sport that make it more like how it was, 20 years ago, just where the games are moving along at a really quick pace, they're actually putting the ball in play, then I think I'm going to remain this way.
Okay, so they're catching me at a good time because I don't like the direction of the game overall either. Murray, you know that. I've spoken till I've turned blue in the face on this one. I hate the way the game is played now. Hate it. Can't stand it. But I'll still watch it. And I certainly will still watch the Red Sox. And, so this also relates to what I want to ask fans tonight. And that is that, has the sport lost you? Have the Red Sox lost you? Or both? Because I admit, both have alienated me. It's hard not to be alienated by the team or by the game with what has gone on in the last, call it, year. Really, since the All-Star break of last season, and we're closing in on that now. July 31st of last year, the Red Sox did nothing at the deadline. And the 2 months after that, everything went to hell. They fired Dave Dombrowski. They finished 84-78. They went into the tank right after the trading deadline, if you remember that. And again, they hired a new general manager, who we still don't know anything about. They traded away their best player. They traded away a pitcher to go along with them. They've said that they're going to stay under the luxury tax. Just one bad thing after the next. And yet here they are. So what has turned you off? If you are turned off, what has turned you off? Is it the game? Is it the Red Sox? Is it both? Because I would tell you that as much as I am disenchanted by the direction of the game, and as much as I look at the Red Sox and say, they don't really have a shot to win the World Series. Not against the Yankees, not against the Astros, not against the Dodgers. They don't have the horses to beat those teams. I still think that there is a reason for them to play this year. I still think that they can make the playoffs this year. And for that, they have the pandemic to thank because everything changes in a 60-game schedule. So that's where we're going to start. 617-779-0985. And first call of the year goes to John, who's in a car. John, what do you got?
All right, Matt. So I got a stupid rationalization that I'm going to try and convince myself of just because I need a reason to get involved in the Red Sox and kind of invested in it. Look around sports, you see teams that lost big guns. The first one that comes to my mind is the Columbus Blue Jackets. Again, it's a stupid comparison, but they lost two big guns and people thought they were going to be a lottery team. Look around other sports teams, it happens. Like, the guys in the room, they still want to win. You hope so, at least. And that's what I'm going to convince myself, that those young guys, they're going to be kind of pissed. No one expects anything of them, and they got something to prove. So that's what I'm going to go into it with.
Okay, so, John, look, that's a good thing to go into it with because a lot of people are. They're disenchanted by the team, disillusioned. How can you not be? After the way that last year went, after the way the offseason went, and then after the way the world went, of course. Absolutely. A lot of people optimistic about the start of the baseball season. People in Boston aren't at the top of that list. Here's what I would tell you the number one reason that you should be looking forward to the start of the Red Sox season. One, it's a return to normalcy. It's what we do during this time of year. Okay, we watch baseball games. Maybe we don't watch all of them anymore, and God knows we're not sticking around for the 3.5 hours, which is what it took last year. And I know Murray's not sticking around, and guess what? I'm not either. Not for 3.5 every night, but I'm still going to watch and I'm still going to be interested. And the number one reason you should think that the Red Sox have a chance this year is 60 games. 60. So now a million people have told me that the Red Sox pitching staff is the worst that they've ever seen. Dan Shaughnessy, The Globe, wrote over the weekend the worst he's seen in their lifetime. We've had people call in say that the pitching staff is dreadful, which it is. But if Nathan Eovaldi has five good starts, which he can do, which he has done, if he has a good month, if Eduardo Rodriguez can get back on the mound and pitch even remotely like he did last year, and they can win of his, say, nine starts, six of them, you can make the playoffs. Can you win a World Series? I doubt it. I doubt it. But there's still a lot to gain for the Red Sox this year. Do not kid yourselves about that. And a 60-game schedule opens the door for it. Absolutely opens the door. Anybody in baseball can have a good month or two. Anybody. The Seattle Mariners last year started out 13-2. The Washington Nationals last year were 19-31 after 50 games. They ended up winning the World Series. In 2 months, everything's in play. Emmett's in Texas. Go ahead, Emmett.
Hello. Hey, so, Mazin Murray, thank you for taking my call. I'm not a hot take artist. I just have a simple question. Going forward with the season, there's been a measuring stick on Felger and Maz of a pass-fail. I'm just wondering, for Maz and Murray, for each of you, what your pass-fail is for the Red Sox this year. Thank you.
Okay, I'll tell you what, that's a good question. Murray, go ahead. What would be your pass-fail for the Red Sox?
I mean, a pass, considering what the expectations were, given the offseason before the pandemic, that they even make the playoffs. It doesn't even matter if they have a successful postseason. If they make it, again, considering what the expectations were, that's a pass to me. And a fail is, again, my expectations weren't all that high for him, and looking at that rotation. So they would have to be, I mean, one of the five worst teams in baseball for them to be a massive failure.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. I'm going to hold my thought on that, and I'll answer it when we come back. Because I think people's perspectives on this Red Sox season are completely and totally warped. I think they're warped. I think you've all gotten corrupted by the winning, and you're not thinking straight. And your entire perspective has become completely warped as it pertains to any team in town, let alone the Red Sox, who deserve your scrutiny and your criticism. They do. The up and down, you know, Jekyll and Hyde nature of the Red Sox in this decade has been inexcusable. You have a right to be agitated by that. It's been a tumultuous existence. You're going from World Series to last place finishes to historic seasons to disappointing ones to pandemics. You're going through all of that. So you have a right to be cynical and skeptical. But you should also know that because of all that, your perspective has been completely warped and destroyed. And the way you're looking at the season is all wrong. I'll tell you the right way to look at it when we come back on the debut, the 2020 debut of the Baseball Reporters.
Talking everything baseball.
So if you're a Red Sox fan, here's what you think.
It's the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Allen's driven to left field and deep. Going back, Cespedes. He's on the track. He's at the wall. See ya! A home run for Judge. And the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
They have a lot of guys in the back end of that bullpen that can fill in. And that is your injury report brought to you by Montefiore doing more.
Oh, Gary Sanchez did more. He just crushed a pitch into the second deck in left field as the Yankees take a 2-0 lead. Wow, did he hit that. That one's driven deep to left field. Going back, Smith, track, wall, see ya! A two-run home run for Judge. The Bronx Bombers are out tonight. It is 5-0 Yankees. And he does. Oh, he crushed it. See ya! Oh, into the bleachers. A monster shot by Giancarlo Stanton. And it's 6-0 Yankees.
So this is what it's going to sound like. Get used to it. That's Michael Kay of the YES Network. Exhibition game last night between the Yankees and the Mets. Call it a scrimmage, I guess. And the Yankees hit a bunch of home runs. They beat the Mets. I think the final was 6-0. Not that that matters in an insignificant game like that. But both teams that will be on the Red Sox schedule. But the sound is different. I mean, it's different. You don't hear the crowd in the background. Obviously, the crack of the bat is crystal clear. Felger noted this today. You hear the ball rattle around in the seats. Murray, maybe you can help me with this, too. I think I know the answer to it. I'm guessing that Michael Kay is calling these games from a studio and not from the stadium. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. I haven't seen really anyone in any of these sports. Maybe it's a little different with the MLS thing because it's all down in Orlando. Where they're calling the games, any of these play-by-play people are calling the games from inside the stadium.
Okay, so to me, the most noticeable part of those home run cuts is the delay between the crack of the bat and when Kay can determine that it's a home run. Like, if you listen to that, Billy, maybe we can play one of them again. There's a little pause there. Whereas if Kay's at the game live, he sees the ball off the bat, he knows right away.
Right, you got to wait for the camera angle to really tell you that it's out of the park. You know right away when you're there.
Right, he can't tell. He can't tell because he's waiting to see. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That one's driven to left field and deep. Going back, Cespedes. He's on the track. He's at the wall. See ya. A home run for Judge. And the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
They have a lot of guys in the back end of that bullpen that can fill in. And that is your injury report brought to you by Montefiore doing more.
Oh, Gary Sanchez did more. He just crushed a pitch into the second deck in left field as the Yankees take a 2-0 lead. Wow, did he hit that.
Okay, Billy, thank you. So again, you can hear the delay because Kay doesn't know. He doesn't know. And the point is, it's going to be different. The whole experience is going to be different. It's going to be different for the broadcasters, for the players. The Red Sox are going to do the same thing, by the way. Jerry Remy and Dave O'Brien and Eck, they're going to call the games from the studio at Nesson in Watertown. They're not going to be in the ballpark, which means you're not going to get the instant understanding of what's going on in the play because they can't see it. They're going to have to wait for the cameras to catch up. And it's also going to be different for you. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Everything that you've learned about baseball up to this point, forget it. Forget it. It's a 60-game season. Completely different. And the Red Sox, if you write off this season, and I say this to both the team and to those of you who are fans, if you look at the Red Sox and say they don't have the pitching, this season's a wash, forget it, I'll check in on them in 2021. First of all, how do you know that it's going to be any different in 2021? None of us know that right now. We might be living the same life a year from now that we're living right now. That's number one. This might be the new normal. Who the hell knows? Forever, I mean. Who knows? Nobody knows. Secondly, in a 60-game schedule, don't count anybody out. Again, the Mariners went 13-2 to start the year last year. If you go 35-25 over 60, you're probably in. You're probably in the postseason. Now, when people ask me then, well, can the Red Sox win the championship? I would tell you probably not, but it depends who's in the playoffs with them. If it's the Yankees and the Astros and the Dodgers, and no, they're not going to beat those teams in the series. They're not good enough. They don't have the horses. But if they get in and it's a bunch of teams like them because the Yankees had an injury or they came out and played like crap in the early part of the year like the Red Sox did a year ago, remember last year the Red Sox 2-7, 6-13, right out of the gate. It was over. And that was in a 162-game schedule. If that happens in 60, you're toast. And a team comes out the other way and goes 13-6, they're in it. Do not count them out. Do not let them off the hook because they still have one of the highest payrolls in baseball and they still have an obligation when the games start to win or at least to attempt to win. Now, the mindset of the team, everything else, we can discuss that as we go. We'll see what it looks like. I have my concerns. But on Friday night, if they show up and they look like they're ready to play, they can make a run at the playoffs. To me, that would be a successful season. That's how I categorize it. Even if they don't get in the playoffs in a 60-game schedule, as long as they make a legit run at it, and I mean take it to the wire, I'll be satisfied given everything that's gone on this year.
What's
there is it? Oh, so, sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
Sorry, Mazzia. So what's a fail then?
Oh, a fail to me is to be out of it right out of the gate. Bad start and be buried at like 5-12.
So a start like last year's.
Oh, huge fail. Yeah. Huge. Keep me interested. Keep me in it. We've all been waiting for team sports to start. Don't bury me a week in. Don't do that. Barry's in Woonsocket. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, hey, man, thanks a lot for taking my call. I love you guys. Love the show. My point is, you know, baseball, with everything that's been going on, they don't even know how to market their sport during this pandemic. Like, I went on this morning to the MLB Network to see, you know, could I watch other games? I'm a cord cutter. I have, like, Fubo TV. And they're going to charge me $60 for the year. And normally it's $120, which is fine. I get that. But as far as marketing the sport, regardless of what's going on with the Red Sox, obviously it's more regional. But, yeah, the Mets, we're playing different teams than we normally would play.
Barry, can you get to the point? What do you mean they don't market? What's the, what most
especially to younger people. I mean, for guys like us, our age, we're going to watch. We might watch with the younger generation. They're actually playing baseball in Rhode Island. AAU teams are actually playing.
Yeah, so Barry, you know what? It's not the marketing of the sport. It's the quality of the product. It's the quality of the product. The product stinks. The game moves too slowly. There's not enough action. It's a walk. It's a strikeout. It's a home run. I might as well go to a softball game and watch a bunch of 40-year-old guys play. Okay? It's the quality of the product. It's not the marketing. Because, and this occurred to me also in the last eight. You tell me Aaron Judge doesn't intrigue you watching him? Or that when Stanton hits one 5 miles, it doesn't intrigue you? And I'll tell you what. I'll even stay away from the Yankees because everyone thinks I'm a closet Yankee fan. Cody Bellinger. Hell of a player. Fun guy to watch. And to me, there's a little more flair there than there is with a guy like Trout. How about Shohei Ohtani? You tell me he's not fun to watch? It's not the marketing. It's that there aren't enough guys like that. The game's not played in a fun way. It's not played in an exciting way. It's played in a really boring, cookie-cutter, paper program kind of way. That's why it sucks. That's why kids don't want to play it. Let me go to Pete, who's in Westminster. Good, Pete.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Glad to have you back. I'm just glad to have sports back. We got baseball, you know, starting up this week, hockey right around the corner, which I'm super excited for. But I just want to be able to go home at night after a long day of work, turn the game on, whether they're winning or losing, and just watch it for a little bit and pass out on the couch like I used to do. I know I'm not going there, so to go into the park at all, but, you know, watching is going to be better than not doing anything at all. I'm sick of watching The Office with Family Guy. And lack of energy in the park. How do you think that's going to play towards actual gameplay?
Okay, so Pete, it's an interesting question because, again, no fans in the stands. The noise is all going to be canned, and the players want the fake noise, Mark. The players want it because they think it adds to the atmosphere. And this occurred to me as we were talking today on Felger and Maz, and I think it's a point worth touching on now. You know what you're going to find out this season? And this is another reason to watch. In fact, if you're a Red Sox fan and you're in it for the long haul, this is maybe the most important reason to watch. You're going to find out who the real pros are. You're going to really find out. You're going to find out which guys are totally committed to the craft and to the job and to the compete. You're going to find out which guys will show up and play no matter what. Fans in the stands, hell or high water, good pitching or bad pitching. You're going to find out. This is the year you find out. And you'll even find out about some of the young guys. Because inevitably, there will be someone who tests positive, or there will be someone who puts on the injured list and doesn't really want to come back because, hell, let's face it, it's a, you know, in their minds now, it's a fake season. And so a lot of them are just going to mail it in. But the true professionals, they will identify themselves. And the young guys who get a chance, they don't know any better, so they're going to play hard. And Jeter Downs, he might play this year. He's one of the guys you got in the Mookie Betts deal, for those of you who don't remember. Or Jay Groom, top pitching prospect that you drafted a few years ago under Dombrowski, with the number 12 pick that has never really panned out. You have a chance of seeing him this year. You have a chance of seeing a lot of these guys. And you will find out which guys really care, which guys are committed and dedicated, and which guys are not going forward, because the Red Sox are planning for the long term more than they are the short. I'm not going to sit here and feed you bullcrap because we all know the direction the team's going in. It's why they brought Chaim Bloom in. They have to build for the long term. But in the short term, do not let them off the hook. There is enough talent there for them to compete and hang in there. There's enough talent for them to do that. Again, making the playoffs, winning, two different things. But we will find out over the course of that, during that, as the season unfolds, we will find out which guys really show up and compete and take it seriously and which guys mail it in and don't really have the kind of mental toughness that you want. And I'm not saying you have to get rid of them after that. I'm just saying that we will know. Okay, we will know. Murray's got your headlines. We'll be back with more of your calls next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
And with Major League Baseball starting up their season later this week, the
now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
From a Blue Jay perspective, you know, as we mentioned, player health, certainly from a competitive standpoint, and also as a point of pride from the drive to play on Canadian soil, the time spent for us, you know, over the past few months was 100% worth it, and we have no regret there. And as we get the decision this evening, you know, we move forward with no excuses, you know, knowing that all of our alternatives are going to be somewhat imperfect. We're not going to make excuses. We're going to continue to work very closely with Major League Baseball, which we have done today, and I'll talk more about in the Q&A, to find the best alternative for us in the days ahead.
So that's Mark Shapiro, president of the Toronto Blue Jays. And those of you, you may remember the name. Shapiro used to be the general manager and then became the president of the Cleveland Indians and then took over the Blue Jays. And he's talking, how about this story? Really, like, when people say they've lost their faith in baseball, this is why. Stories like this are why. Baseball went through a very public labor dispute this spring, and that's what it was. It was a labor dispute. It was a work stoppage, as far as I was concerned. That's what it was. The owners and the players bickering back and forth, the commissioner, Rob Manfred, and the head of the players' union, Tony Clark, going back and forth publicly spitting at each other while the sand went through the hourglass and we lost a good chunk of the season. Baseball could have been back 3 weeks ago. They could have been back on July 4th weekend. But the owners didn't want to play then, and I question how much the players really wanted to play either. All of them, it was an issue. And now, on top of it all, 3 or 4 days before the season starts, no games in Toronto. The Blue Jays are told by their federal government that they cannot play in Toronto. The government up there does not want it. Again, the federal government, the city of Toronto was willing to have the Blue Jays play in an empty stadium, but the country mandates that they don't want people coming in and out. And honestly, I think they're right. I think they're doing the right thing under the circumstances in Canada. I mean, as Murray pointed out earlier, Murray, what did you say? You wouldn't let anybody from this country in either with the way the virus has exploded here?
No, and I get your frustration. And look, given the labor strife that took place, too, like they should have had this thing start on the 4th of July. I think a lot of fans, baseball fans specifically, really thought that was going to happen. They didn't, and it pissed them off, and rightfully so. But this, I'm not going to get that hard on them for, because the numbers have jumped so dramatically just in these last couple of weeks. And so I do think that this, you know, the Canadian government kicking the Blue Jays out of Toronto is a direct counter to the job that this country's done trying to contain the virus or lack thereof. So Canada now joins a lengthy list of countries. You know, you look at Europe, the whole European Union has said, you know, we're not letting you in. Today, the Bahamas also said, no, you're American. You're not coming in. You're not welcome. And given that the numbers have jumped so much, I don't blame them.
Oh, Murray, I don't blame them either. I don't blame them at all. What I do blame baseball for is not having a plan ready to go.
Well, sure. So, yeah, Mike mentioned it, too, during the afternoon show, is that there should have been a contingency plan. And, of course, it being baseball, there wasn't.
No, there wasn't. And I'll be honest with you, even if there wasn't a contingency plan today, there should have been one, you know, 3 weeks ago. And when I say if there wasn't one today, I mean the fact that they found out 3 or 4 days before the season starts, I put that on baseball, too. They should have been pressing Canada for a clear answer 2 weeks ago. They should have been saying, no, we need to know now. And all of this ties into the whole delay between owners and players because everything got pushed back. But this is what baseball did. They ran the clock down to the point where they were losing options, and they lost this one too. They should have had Pittsburgh ready to go. Now, my guess is they're going to play in Pittsburgh. It sounds like that's where this thing is headed. And at the end of the day, no loss, no foul. Nobody has a home field advantage anyway. There aren't going to be any fans in the stands. But the overall way in which baseball has managed this thing, and I use that term very loosely, the overall way in which baseball has managed itself during this pandemic has destroyed any faith people have in the sport and in the leadership of the sport. So I come back to the original question, if you are a baseball fan or a Red Sox fan, if you're not coming back, is it because you don't believe in the game anymore or you don't believe in the Red Sox? Or both? Which one is it? Because I believe me, I know a lot of you probably don't even care that the season is starting this week. And in a lot of ways, I don't blame you. For all my bitching and bickering and moaning and everything else, of course, I'll be watching. I want to watch that game with the Yankees and Nationals on Thursday, and I'm certainly going to watch the Red Sox. And they start on Friday. But if you're not coming back, why? Why? That's what I want to know. And if you are coming back, I want to hear from you, too. Is it Topher in Salem?
Hey, what's up, Matt? How you doing, buddy?
Good. What's on your mind?
So, you guys basically hit it on the head. It's basically two kids fighting in a sandbox over a shovel and a pail. That's basically how baseball handled the season. And they could have been back. They could have been dealing with everything. If you even look at hockey, if you look at basketball.
Topher, are you going to watch?
They did everything.
Are you going to watch?
No.
So you're out. You're done. There's nothing they can do to bring you back.
Matt, I've been a diehard Red Sox fan since 86 when I was 6 years old. I have no care for the game right now. I want to watch players because they excite me, but I don't care about the game because they just made it. They rubbed me the wrong way doing what they did in the season, and it kind of makes me sad.
Okay, you're not alone. Are you going to watch the Red Sox then?
No.
Okay, so you're out. He's out. That's a guy who said, I've had enough. Now, in all honesty, I'll believe him when he actually does it. It's still Monday.
Well, yeah, the numbers will show, you know, whether or not people are. I mean, there are certain demographics I think you're going to get anyway, the older ones. But
there was a lot of damage done, Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of damage done. I don't dispute that. I also think that I've heard this before. I used to have I used to have a buddy in college who used to say, that's it, I'm out. This strike, I'm out. I'm never going to watch again. First game, he was back.
Of course.
He was back. They always are. They always are. I told you, this is akin to like that Friday night or Saturday night when you're in college, you go out drinking, you get so stinking drunk, all you're doing is worshiping the altar all night, Murray. You are puking your brains out. You're sick as a dog when you wake up the next day. And what's the first thing you say? I'm never drinking again.
Well, and in this case, too, so as much...
And you know what you do the next chance you get? You drink.
Oh, always, yeah. Oh, believe me, I'm a walking example of that, as I'm sure you have been in the past, too. But, you know, the thing that baseball actually has on their side right now, and, you know, that's going to shift pretty quickly once the NHL and NBA start up. But, you know, with your hardcores, even that are angry like that guy who said he was been a Red Sox fan his whole life, what else are you going to do? You know, at this point, I feel like we've all watched everything on Netflix and read the whole internet. It's not like there's other new content coming out. So for all the screw-ups that baseball have had here as a whole over the last few months, and, you know, I get why people would be mad. In a lot of ways, they kind of have us over a barrel, too. If you want live sports and soccer's not your bag or lacrosse or anything else, what the hell else are you going to do? You're going to watch.
Murray, the only team sports that have been on television in the last 4 months is MLS. For men, MLS. And I'm not a hardcore soccer fan, but I did watch a little bit of the Revs' first game. I was so fired up to watch an actual sporting event. I've been watching the golf. I've been watching it. I typically only watch the majors. The Memorial this weekend, I watched two of the rounds, Saturday and Sunday. I watched them both. Jesse is in Easton. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hi, how's it going, guys? Can you hear me okay?
Yep, loud and clear. Go.
So I'm actually a big Tampa Bay Rays fan, and while their lineup is kind of, you know, average at best, I think their pitching rotation could be historically great. And that gets to my question. Who do you think this 60-game season is going to benefit more? Teams with dominant pitching or hitting?
Okay, so Jesse, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting question. Someone actually brought up something akin to this during the Felger and Maz show in the afternoon, and I think that there is, I think it's an interesting question for this reason. Typically when the season starts, the old adage is that the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, always, particularly at the start of camp. Then the hitters catch up a little later in spring training and then they all go north, but April is typically a pitcher's month. Now, there are lots of reasons for that, one of which is that the weather's cold, and you're outside, it's a little harder to hit. But now, I don't know. I'm trying to give you an honest answer. I don't know. I couldn't possibly predict it. My guess is that the hitters are going to do better now than the pitchers do.
Well, and part of the pitching, you know, part of the reason that pitching is ahead of it, especially on the East Coast, is the weather, right? For that first month and a half, because it's
totally
so cold here. So
yes, totally, Mark.
Yeah. I mean, that's now nullified.
So, and I do think that there is something to be said for pitchers, you know, ramped it up in the spring, then they shut it down. Now they got to get it back up again. And I don't know if guys are going to have great command of their off-speed stuff for their breaking stuff. And balls that are in the middle of the plate are going to carry now. They're going to get hit. So, again, the weather's warm. The weather's good. It's hot everywhere. I think balls are going to carry. And my guess is that baseball is going to want offense earlier in the year. So early in this season, anyway, so it wouldn't surprise me if they jacked the ball again. Max is in Boston. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm gonna level with you. I'm not a diehard Sox fan like I was as a kid, but I'm still going to watch as many games as possible. There's nothing else going on. It's pitiful the way baseball has turned and the way they've handled this. And I don't want to watch, and I don't think the owners or the players deserve to have me watch, but they're kind of forcing my hand because I got nothing else to watch, so all you guys take it away.
So,
well, yeah, Max, go ahead, Murray.
That caller just speaks to what I was saying. Like, in a lot of ways, for all the screw-ups that baseball have had here, and you know, callers be like, I'm not going to watch. Right now, what else are you going to do? There's not, again, most people have watched all the new stuff that's been talked about on Netflix. You see Tiger King? So people's watched that months ago. There's not much new content coming out. So even if you're mad at the game, again, when it starts on Thursday or the Red Sox start Friday, what else are you going to watch? They got you over a barrel if you've been waiting for live sports.
Well, so I'll tell you what, in a lot of ways, this is what baseball has always banked on, Murray. That
at this time of year, yeah.
Yeah, basketball and hockey end in the middle of June. Football doesn't really crank up, obviously, until September, although there's a lot of talk during camp, and there are preseason games in the month of August. But right now is when you turn to baseball. You typically start dialing in right about now. This year, I think that is more pronounced than others. And so what happens? Now you get in it, and then typically you get to this stage, you start watching, then the trade deadline comes along, and then all of a sudden now here's August, and you have a pennant race, you go into September, and then people like the playoffs. I think they don't watch it like they used to, but you'll still watch the playoffs. It's hard to do every night when the games are 4 hours, but you'll still check in for the essence of it. People will still do that. That's what baseball banks on. It would really say it's deliver one hell of a message if now, amid a pandemic with no team sports on at all, no teams having played a game since March, if the game came back and people said no thanks, tell me that wouldn't be a message to the game. I don't think it's going to happen because I've heard people threaten it in the past and they never follow through. So I don't think they're going to follow through now. And I can tell you that I'm not even going to delude you into tell you that I'm not going to watch because I am. I will watch. I always watch, maybe not as acutely as I did before, and I'm certainly not dialing in for 3.5 hours every night. I just don't have that kind of life anymore. But am I still interested? Of course. Yeah, I mean, the game's got me. It's had me too long. I'm not walking away, and certainly the Red Sox have got me too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.